Hey, I'm Scott. I am an American in Bangkok. Welcome to the Members Podcast. It's been a while since I've done one of these Members Podcasts. I apologize for that. I should be back on track now. Let me tell you, today is Sunday, March 12th, and it's, what time is it? It's about 6:30 in the evening, and I have just finished packing. I'm getting ready to go to Bali, of all places. And I'm going with my wife, which is unusual. We don't always have a chance to take trips together. But this time we are going to go. She's going for work. And her company basically provides her with travel expenses and hotel accommodation and money for food. And they pay for her airline ticket. So I really don't have to worry about getting back and forth to the airport, and nor do I have to worry about accommodation. So in that regard, I'm fortunate because I save a little bit of money. And she'll be working most of the time during the day, and I will be out taking photos and shooting video and traveling around, and then she's going to probably sneak off at least one of the days, maybe two. And in the evenings, we'll have some time together. So it's kind of like a working holiday. And I'm looking forward to it because I've been to Indonesia many times, but I've never been to Bali. And I've got a buddy who he's been there. He's been all over the world. And he says, I'm not impressed by it. But, you know, I try to keep an open mind, and I really like Indonesia a lot. We'll see if I like Bali. I'm going with the mentality that I'm there to take photos and also to a lesser extent to shoot video footage. For me, it's not quite the same as somebody who is just going to as a tourist and just, well, I want to see all of Bali. I have specific places that I want to go. I don't know if I'll be able to go to all of them, but there are some pretty cool places. I'm just anxious to go. I'm just anxious. It's another trip. It's another trip under my belt. It's one of, you know, hundreds that I've taken. And I'm stoked. You know, I've said it many times. I'm really happy that I'm going to go. And in May, it looks like I'll be going to Hanoi, be going to the United States, should be going to Ecuador in maybe June or July, and then hopefully I'll make it to Africa at the end of the year. I don't know exactly how or where. I have an idea of where I want to go and what I want to do. I've been doing the YouTube videos, and I don't get out much to shoot video footage because, frankly, the videos don't do as well. I mean, I'll put it that way. Now, I don't really care if the videos are doing as well when it comes to the member section. I want people just to get a broad idea of what it's like to be in Asia, what it's like to travel around, what it's like to live here. And, obviously Thailand is the focus, but how many videos do I got to make to where, you know, people, they understand this is what it's like? I mean, I've made, now it's closing in on somewhere around 700 videos that I've made in 3 years. So that's quite a few. And, you know, I've said it before, how many times do I got to talk to a guy about, you know, what he should do if he meets a girl in Thailand, or you know, should he go out with this bar girl and fall in love, or how many times can I go over the same old shit? So the plan is to, and I've been planning this for a while, but it's been a little difficult to really do, first of all, because of finances, because it gets expensive traveling around, especially when you travel outside of Asia. For me to travel to Cambodia, I mean, I've got it down to a science, pretty much. I mean, when it comes to Cambodia, if you're going to be in Cambodia for, say, 4 or 5 nights, you're looking at about 20,000 baht, 15 to 20,000 baht, which is, you know, 15,000 baht's about $450, something like that. 20,000, that adds another, I don't know, what is that? 5,000 baht divided by 33 is 160. So you're looking something like 160. So you're looking at somewhere in the neighborhood of anywhere from $450 to about $650 for just a short trip. And that's trying to get a fairly inexpensive ticket that's not flying Thai Air. In some cases, it may not even be flying Bangkok Air. Although I prefer Bangkok Air to Air Asia. I hate Air Asia. I avoid them at all costs. Now, my wife and I are flying Thai Air to Indonesia, and I'm thrilled about that because I definitely do not want to fly Air Asia. If I have it my way, I will never, ever fly them again. I can't stand Air Asia. And, you know, it really is a matter of getting what you pay for when it comes to airlines. If you fly Bangkok Air, you fly Thai Air, you generally get a better experience and better service, and you have more recourse than if you deal with some place like Air Asia or Tiger Airways or what is that? It's not Atom Air, is it? I forget what it is. It's an Indonesian airline. There are several budget airlines throughout Asia. There are many, but several in Thailand. And you know, sometimes it pays. If you got a little bit of extra cash, it's beneficial just to spend that extra cash. So you know, this is something to think of. But I'm happy that I'm going, and I'm anxious to see what happens. And of course, I will put up. I should have, I'd say, probably at least 5, maybe as many as 10 different videos, maybe more, I don't know. But I'd say at least 5 to 10, and I should have somewhere in a neighborhood of about 1,500 photos, which means if I get 50 really good photos, and out of those maybe 5 are stellar, I'll be happy. So yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know what else to say, but that's what's going on. Yeah, that's what's going on. I got all these trips planned. I got all this stuff planned, and the people on the site will benefit from it. The members especially will benefit. I think it's a benefit. But you know, it's something that if you've been to Asia many times, and I mean, you know, listen, this is something for me. I mean, going to Bali is a new experience, so I'm very happy about that. But like Cambodia, I've been all over Cambodia. I've taken somewhere around 70, maybe 75 trips to Cambodia over the past 20 years or so. And so it gets a bit to where you're like, it gets a bit stale. You know, life can get stale. I mean, let's just face it. It's like if you're in the United States and you live in San Francisco, San Francisco is a great city. But if you live there all your life, after a while, you're like, hey, I want to go somewhere different. I want to go somewhere. And it's the same thing with Bangkok. It's the same thing. You know, so and I've been anxiously watching what's going on in the United States, and today, you know, the Chicago debate was canceled, or rather the rally, Trump's political rally was canceled. I find that from what I've seen, you know, listen, I like Trump the best out of all the candidates, and honestly, I think most of the candidates are I don't want to say they're idiots, but I don't think that they are the kind of people that should be leading a country. As far as Hillary Clinton goes, I wouldn't trust her as far as I could put my tongue out. And that alone says a lot. I mean, I don't think the government or the country needs another Richard Nixon. I don't think we need to worry about what's going on behind. I mean, we already worry about what's going on behind closed doors. I don't think we need another tricky dick. My kids heard that for the first time the other day. I told them, yeah, you never heard of Tricky Dick Nixon? Tricky Dick? What kind of a name is that? Whoever came up with that one was brilliant. But I don't think we need that. And I think that, you know, Bernie Sanders, listen, he's not all that bad, but there are some people I would really need to look at, you know, what he's selling before I voted for him. And then you got Trump and Rubio and Cruz. And to me, Cruz is a slime ball. And he reminds me of Grandpa Munster, who is like a pedophile. And I'm not trying to say that Cruz is a pedophile or reminds me of a pedophile, but he's that slimy. That's what my point is. He just looks to me to be a slime ball. And I think that if you look at how Hillary Clinton talks, I think that Ted Cruz is similar to her in that everything seems to be staged, how they move, how they talk. It's too damn professional for me. Now, if you want, you can compare that to Hitler, who made excellent use of hand movements and gestures and the tone of his voice and how he brought his speeches, he raised the level of his speeches and brought the crowds to a fervor. I do think that there are some similarities in that sense, but I mean, you know, I know that's a huge stretch, and I'm not trying to compare them to that, but Hitler did do that. So, and I do think that, especially Hillary Clinton, if you watch her, the way she moves, the way she talks, everything is a political statement, and you've got to get it out there. Oh, yes. What was it that she said the other day? She said something about, America, we're not going to make America great. America, what was it that she said? America is great. America, we don't need to make America great. America is already great. Well, honey, if you really believe that, you're blind as a fucking bat. And I do believe she's blind as a bat. Because America's got a shitload of problems, and guess what? This was in evidence by this rally in Chicago. And Trump has really touched on a nerve, and he's, win or lose, he has hit on a couple of points, and that is that Americans are pissed off. They're pissed off at Obama. Now, and there's a great divide. There are some people who love Obama, but there are some people who absolutely hate him. I don't particularly like him as a president, but there are a lot of people who they just want to change. They're sick of what's going on. They're sick of having to worry about illegal immigrants. They're sick of having to worry about people who are trying to come into the country and take jobs and do this and do that. And the problem is that some of the people that are coming in and taking jobs, they're jobs that most Americans either can't do or don't want to do. And, you know, this is something that happens all over the world. There are people, even in Thailand here, the Burmese are known for working here illegally and Laotians. And they make a pittance compared to what the Thais make, who don't make all that much either. So that is something to consider. However, I think that there are a lot of people, they just are sick of it. They're sick of hearing about it. And, you know, I really, as much as I like to say, oh, well, you know, the U.S. is a melting pot, and I think that there is such a thing as too much too soon. I think there needs to be a moratorium. There needs to be limits set. And they must be much more strict than what they were in the past. Populations are rising all around the world. They're increasing. Numbers are increasing. And with all the people that are coming into the United States, how can you possibly think about being safe? And you know what? There used to be a time when you really never had to worry about terrorists doing anything on your own soil. And now it is a concern. And I'm always worried about hearing something on the news that happens in Florida or wherever, and one of my family members or one of my friends is injured or killed, because of somebody that, you know, they've got some hard on for Americans. Well, you know, something that really bothers me is that I see all these guys claiming that, you know, they don't fit in and they don't care about American law or they don't care about British law and that they believe in Sharia law. And that, well, if you believe in Sharia law, go to your own country or go to a country other than this country and stop trying to change our country. In the United States, I don't know how much of a problem it is in the United States. I mean, I honestly don't know. So I'm just talking hypothetically. But if somebody comes into the country and then they can have the opinion, hey, you know, I'm for Sharia law. Okay, well, good for you. What do you plan on doing about it? Anything that I have to get it implemented. Guess what? Denied, you're out of there. You know why? People don't want Sharia law in the United States. And some people, like it or not, now I know I'm older, I'm not a generation from the generation that is PC, and frankly, I don't give a fuck what anybody thinks or if they like me. I really don't give a shit. There's going to be a time when I'm on my deathbed, and guess what? I will say every single thing that I want to say before I go. Because right now, just by... there are things that I can't say that I would love to say. But I will say this. I don't believe that everyone wants to get along. The other day, Donald Trump said that he believes Islam hates us. Well, I believe that a large portion of Islam probably does hate us. And there's a huge number of people, you know, that practice Islam. And I don't believe that all Muslims want to take over the world or that they want to take over America or that they hate America or they hate the Western world. I don't believe that. But I do think that there is a large amount of hatred. I do think he was right. He is actually touching upon things that nobody wants to talk about. And he says things like, I want to punch this guy. Listen, I say things like that all the time too. If it comes down to it, and it comes down to, do I want to break the law and injure somebody? In most cases, I will say, no, I don't want to. In my head, I want to. But will I act upon those feelings? Probably not. Because I'm smart enough to know that there are laws in place for a reason. You can't just go around beating people up. You can't go stabbing people. You can't go killing people. You just can't do these things. Now, maybe in some parts of the world, they get away with it. I don't know. This is what I think, though. I think that people should have the freedom to say whatever the fuck they want to say without having to worry about being killed. You can print whatever you want. You can say whatever you want. And people may not like it. They may boycott you. They may say, hey, guess what? Too bad. We don't want to do business with you anymore. We don't like you. We hate you. You're an asshole. Whatever. It doesn't matter. Because they're able to respond. That's how a free society works. If somebody makes a statement and somebody disagrees, they are allowed to disagree without fear of injury or persecution. And, you know, I tell you that this presidential run has made me more political than I've ever been in my life. And here I am, I live in Thailand. But guess what? I have a vote. And oh yeah, I'm a voting. And I already did. When I look at who is leading the country, I mean, we're down to really basically a handful of people that can lead the country. I don't think any of them are great leaders. Now, it's very difficult to say because when it comes to crunch time, who knows? You might see somebody and you may think, you know, listen, Hillary Clinton, whatever I say about her, she's been a senator, she's been she's been defense secretary, I think that while she has experience, I personally don't want her in the White House, okay? But if she was in the White House, you never know, she may come through in the clutch. And she may do what has to be done and what is the right thing to do or what is the best thing to do, and she may reap the rewards of making that decision. You never know. That's the thing. And so now I'm at the point where I'm getting to the point again where I was like I was before. I just don't give a fuck about politics. Because, you know what, there's always going to be people that hate each other because of it. They want to kill each other because of it. They want to punch each other. I saw some guy got arrested. He's 78 years old. And a black protester was walking by him. And the old man punched him in the face. Now, I don't care what the guy was doing. I don't care what this black protester was doing. And I only say that he's black because it's probably something that will be brought up in the news and just about everywhere else that you find it. But this guy's 70 years old, 78 years old. He must have felt very strongly about the protesters ruining or being part of ruining the rally. And he punched this guy in the face. And you know what? He was arrested, and rightly so. You can't do this. You just can't. And there's a reason why you have a guy who is a super athlete. Let's just say somebody in MMA. You know, you got the Nate Diaz, a great fighter, or Conor McGregor, or, you know, in the past, you got all kinds of guys. You got, you know, Alistair Overeem, and you got all these guys. I could go up, you know, Nick Diaz, Nate Diaz. You know, I mean, you could go down the line and just name all kinds of. These guys are great fighters. Now, what is to stop these guys from beating the hell out of a bunch of people and taking over a bank or taking over something important? Well, the law, of course. So when they go into a room and they have to debate with somebody, they can't say, listen, you either do it my way or I'm going to choke you out. Well, yeah, okay, you can choke the guy out, and then you're going to go to jail, and then you're not going to have the forum to continue with whatever the debate or discussion was. So this is why you got fat old men, you got little old men, who are running the country, because if physicality is not going to run the country. Now, physicality, as the military goes, I think it's always important to have a strong military. But and you know, I worry at this juncture in my life. I worry about China. I worry about North Korea. I worry about Russia. I worry about what is going to happen to the world. Will the world self-destruct? What's going to happen? What happens if there's a war and North Korea starts trying to bomb the United States or bombing South Korea, and the United States comes in and maybe they drop some kind of who knows what kind of bomb? And guess what? Thailand the people of Thailand suffer because of it. Whether it be health or financial or whatever else it is. I think to myself about that. I think to myself about what's it going to be like when my kids have kids. And they're my grandkids. And those grandkids are in a world where you got to worry about this kind of stuff. So, I mean, you know, listen, at the end of the day, if we die, we die. It's all over. There's not a whole lot you can do. People want to kill you, they're going to kill you. But I do think that there are some serious, serious issues. And I think this is, cyclical. In that there are times of prosperity and peace, and then you get into times of tension, and then you get times of war, and then that subsides, and then you get times of peace, and then it goes over. It just goes over and over and over again. You have the same things happening. And I'm anxious to see what happens because, you know, it won't be long and we'll have a new president in the United States. And for me, it's very important that we have a good president. Now, I don't know if that's going to be possible. And, you know, I'll be honest. I mean, you know, I like the fact that Trump is, he wants to crack down on refugees and immigrants, and he wants a different kind of, he wants to bring back America. But he definitely has been a bit short on information specifics. But if he is the president, I really hope that he does a good job. Because the country needs it. The United States needs it. And say what you will, I really would like... I mean, you know, I'm going back to the United States in about a month, 5 weeks. I really hope I go back and I enjoy my stay. That's the first thing. The next thing is, I hope that if I want to come back and work, which may happen, that it's possible. And then I also want to know that if I decide to live somewhere, I'm going to be safe. And while I don't condone the United States having so much security that people's rights are trampled on, I do think that when it comes down to, hey, am I safe, or should we let these people that don't really have any right in our country? And that's the thing. There is nobody. You don't have a right to come into the United States. Just like I don't have a right to live in Thailand. It's not a right. It's not a right. Say what you will. If you're a foreigner, it's not your right to go into another country's country. Another country's country. It's not your right to go into another country that is a different country from your own. It's not your right. It's a privilege. You are allowed to come into that country. And, you know, I have thought long and hard about becoming a citizen here in Thailand, a permanent resident. And I have never done it because I just don't see the benefit. And if I am ever forced into a position to where I have to choose between being Thai or being an American, guess what? I'm going to be American. This is very simple. I am an American. And that's why the name of my website is not an American Thai living in Bangkok. An American who became a Thai in Bangkok. No. People will say that to me, oh, you are Thai people now. And, you know, no, I'm not. I just had some idiotic Brazilian girl on my Facebook page. You know, I've been watching this chick for a while. Okay, this Brazilian chick. She's been commenting and saying things. And she's a little bit whack. You know, I mean, you know, she's a little bit nutso, in my opinion. And if I say she's nutso, she's nutso. Seriously, okay? I'm not just saying that because I just want to be mean or I want to, you know, be harsh. I've always thought she's a little wacky. But I never say anything because she never had been vindictive. But then she starts on with all Thai girls are whores and all Thai girls want your money and that, you know, they never cook for their husbands and this and that. And then here she is. She wants a man. She's complaining about not having a man and about how her ex-husband used to say that she had to cook for him and that she was his slave. Well, you know, saying that the woman is his slave is extreme by any measure. But to have this woman who apparently she didn't cook for the guy. She didn't want to cook for him. And she didn't work. She doesn't work. So what the hell does she do? She sits around her ass and mooches off of him. Cleans the house. Doesn't cook for him. And the guy's like, hey, babe, you got to cook for me. I want my breakfast. And she has an attitude about it. So now she comes onto my channel, Facebook, starts giving me shit. And she's stepping up. She's escalating. Like I said, she's talking about how all Thai women are whores. You know, every once in a while, like, I go through a period where I get just an extremely large number of trolls, and this is one of them. And she wasn't a troll. She's been a follower for quite some time, but she just lost it. And do I care? No, I don't. Listen, I want everybody to, you know, enjoy what I do on my site and on my channel and when I speak. And, you know, listen, I mean, you know, when it comes down to it, what I say has very little bearing on the world. I mean, come on. You know, who really has a lot of bearing on the, how the world, what goes on in the world? There are very few people that are that powerful. I mean, even radio personalities. You got guys like, what's his name? Don Imus, Howard Stern, Tom Likas, Laura Schlesinger. You got all kinds of people like this that I remember their names. I know who they are. They're radio personalities, you know. But guess what? What do they actually do? Do they really do a lot? Are they changing the United States? Are they changing the world? Well, they may be instigating some subtle changes with certain categories of people. But on the whole, no, they're not really doing all that much. I mean, they, you know, listen, it's like me. You know, I do my little YouTube videos. I do my videos where I travel, and so maybe somebody goes, oh, yeah, wow, that looks really cool. I want to go there. And then I'm like, okay, well, this is a great place, but, you know, understand it's a little pricey. And then the people go, oh, okay, well, I guess I better save a little more money up. I want to make sure I got enough money. And then it's like, hey, you want to come to China? Hey, guess what? The days of living off $500, you know, you can live here. You can exist. But the days are over where, you know, you're going to, like, go out and, you know, if you you want to go out and party, beers are 20 baht or 40 baht, you know, they're a dollar. Those days are over, okay? And this is the thing that people don't understand. You could say it's the good times, but I'm just saying the old days are the old days for a reason. Nowadays, Thailand is a much different place than when I came, and I'm sure it's much different than, say, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, almost 45 years ago, 47, 48 years ago, when Thailand became a very popular place for Westerners and for outsiders. It's a much different place. It's changed. And, you know, this is the constant in life is change. So, this is another thing to think about. But, you know, I got all kind. Listen, I'm of the opinion that Thailand is not the only place for people to live. Okay. Now I live here and I got a family, so I am my hands are a little bit tied as to what I can do. I can't just I don't have, you know, the kind of money where I can just go, okay, let's fork over 25 grand US and let's just go make a move and go do this and go do that and then, you know, everything will be fine. Well, yeah, maybe it will be, or maybe I'll be flat broke and I'll be working a shitty job where I don't make as much as I think I should be, which, you know, that's pretty common. Or I'm not happy with the amount I make, and I'm not happy with my job, and I'm not happy. My parents, you know, have been telling me before, hey, you know, like, be glad you're where you are right now because the cost of living is lower. You're relaxed. You're not stressed out most of the time. And believe me, I've done more and more and more and more as I've lived here. When I first came here, I didn't do shit. I woke up in the morning, you know, usually with a woman, and then I decided what I was going to do for the day. And by the time lunch hit, it was like, all right, so I guess what I'll do is do what I do every day. I go hit a bar later on, you know, maybe find a little female companionship, and, you know, that's it. That was the extent of my life, but, you know, listen, come on. You know, if you really want to do something, it's like the guys who they're living off of a pension, and they live in Pattaya, and you know they got enough money to get drunk every day, and that's the extent of their life. I kind of want more out of my life than that, and so you know this is the thing. I was talking about this the other day. You know, you got to know what you're coming here for. You got to know what you're gonna do. I mean, there are people who come here, they do absolutely nothing and just sit out in the villages and drink beer all day. I knew a guy when I used to live in Udon Thani. I knew a guy, very nice guy, and he had a Thai wife and he had built a house. I believe the guy was from Seattle. Don't remember his name, but a very nice guy, and I talked to him a couple times. And I think he got something like, he got a lump sum of something like $100,000, and I used that or some of it to build a house and to get married to his girl. Now, granted, this is in Isan, and it was a poor neighborhood, and, you know, the girl was poor, and her family was very poor, and so, I don't think he gave a huge amount for Sinsod, but I think it was something like $5,000, which is, actually is fairly reasonable. I mean, you know, the woman, well, I don't know. I don't know how reasonable it was, because I think the woman had, she'd been around a little bit, but she was a nice woman, okay, and he was a nice guy. But he basically was living out there, and he had something, I think he had like a portion of his head, he was an army vet, and he had, part of his head had been blown off, so he had a metal plate in his head, and he was living off of disability, or his pension, or whatever it was. And all he did was, every day, all he did was wake up, spend a little time with his wife. His wife did whatever she had to do. He'd go shopping at the market or whatever. And maybe he went with her, maybe he didn't. And then he'd come home and play video games all day. He'd watch movies. And at night, maybe he would have a little barbecue or something like that. And that was his life. That is what he did. And he very rarely ever went anywhere. And, you know, it worked for him. He was happy. And, you know, I got to say that as I've grown older, I have become more happy just being at home. Whereas when I was younger, being at home was not something I wanted to do. I always had to be out. I always had to be doing something. I had to be going somewhere. I had to be going down to the beach. I had to be going, okay, we're going to go to the beach, and then we're going to go, and we're going to have a dinner, and then we're going to do this, and we're going to do that, and we're going to go here, we're going to go there. It was always, got to be going. Go, 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 go. I remember going to the drive-in movies. I remember going to the midnight show when I was younger. You go and see Dawn of the Dead. And, you know, it was just because we just had to do something. You know, me and my friends. This was in high school and just like, you know, right around when I was graduating high school. And, you know, so you got to have stuff to do. But I'm surprised at how many people here just are content to do nothing. I met a guy a while back who is a British guy, nice guy. I haven't seen him in a while now. But he's been married for, I don't know, something like 10 years. Okay, been in Thailand for like 12 years. Married for 10. And his wife has a job. She's got a good job. And he teaches English part-time. And I think he has a little bit of money coming in from some pension or something. He's basically got enough to pay. He told me he has enough to pay the bills. Now, I got to say, he has a place that is paid for with his wife. His wife paid for the place, so he doesn't have to pay rent. And he told me he lives off of about 15,000 baht a month. So this is basically only to cover his electric bill, which is probably 1,000 baht. He walks to work, okay, he pays for food, but he doesn't go to the grocery very often because it's expensive. He goes out and he buys a meal, and the meal is 40 baht or whatever. Maybe he buys something for his wife, maybe she buys something for him, and he is able to go to Starbucks and able to go out and eat every single day. At some kind of little, you know, cheap restaurant. Not an expensive place, but just a, you know, like in the food court at the mall or something like that. He's able to do that. And he has a couple thousand baht left over every month. Now, I think that's fantastic. I think it's wonderful that he can do that. He's fortunate that he has a place that is paid for. He's fortunate that he has the visa that he has. He's very fortunate in that sense. But he's an older guy, too, so he doesn't have, maybe he doesn't have the desire to purchase things as that some younger people do. They think they've got to, you know, keep up with this, keep up with that, and buy this, and buy that, and they've got to have this, they've got to have that. You know, once you've got a bed in your house, if the bed is in decent shape, you know, you might have to buy one more bed in your whole life. I mean, you know, if the thing's good for 20 years, If it lasts you for 20 years, you're 30 years old, you know, you might be 50 and you get another bed. And then you're 70 and you're like, eh, I ain't going to spend any money on it. But maybe, you know, if you got the money, you buy another one even. But, you know, I mean, you're not talking about something that you've got to buy every week or every month. So, you know, it's interesting to, it is interesting to live here and to watch people and to see how people grow and change. I've got another buddy who, he used to work in New York. He was a public servant. He's on a pension. He gets around $4,000 a month. And, you know, when the dollar was strong, he had a great life. He had plenty of money. Now, the dollar is not as strong, and he still has a decent life here. I think he's lived in the same apartment for like probably 20 years, 18 years or something like that. He's been here as long as I have. He's one of my longtime friends here. And he basically, you know, he just piddles around the house, sleeps all day, wakes up, watches movies, goes for a walk, goes to the mall once in a while. He doesn't do much. So, you know, I don't know that this is any different from older people. And I mean, older, well, listen, both he and I are, you know, 53. By older people, I mean, you know, retirement age in Thailand, okay? And I got to say something else. You know, I found out today that a buddy of mine, he has cancer. Now, another one of my buddies told me that he had cancer too, and he had to go to the doctor and get everything checked out. It was skin cancer, and in most cases, skin cancer is not something that's a big deal. However, okay, so for the first guy, he went, hey, everything's good. I told him, hey, stop worrying, everything's fine, you're all right. And sure enough, he was okay, all right? But the second guy, you know, I told him, I said, listen, chances are it's nothing. You're not, you know, just don't worry until there's actually something to worry about. Because at this point, you don't know. You know, the doctor just said you have a little bit of skin cancer. I need to check it out. Well, he checked it out. He found out that he had to have surgery. So, now this is a guy, he works, all right? And actually, I think I did a podcast with him, it's been about 2 years now. He did the surgery. I'm trying to find something out here. He did the surgery, and he just thought it was going to be, you know, a little in and out, nothing, no big deal. You know, it was going to take 10-15 minutes or something like that. And it turned out it was a two-hour operation. And they took a tumor out the size of like a golf ball. And he just told me today that it's malignant. And, you know, this is a guy I've known for, you know, 20 years. And who he's one of my better friends here. And, you know, it's, I don't know, you know, when you come to Thailand and a lot of people think, oh, yeah, you know, everything's going to be okay. And he's very fortunate because he has insurance. He has a good boss, and his boss helped him out financially. And his insurance covered quite a bit, and so he was okay. At least for now, he's okay. Until he goes and gets his checks, he gets his checkup and everything that he needs to do. Like I said, it's malignant. Now it's a matter of finding out just what's going on. But he's very fortunate in the sense that he was able to get the care that he did, because like he even said to me, hey, you know, if I had to go to a government hospital, he goes, you know, they would have probably ripped me to shreds or I'd be dead by now. Which I don't know if that's true. But, you know, there's so many things to think about when you actually live here and you are not a tourist. I guess that's really what I'm getting at in this whole conversation. You know, sometimes I have a set number of things that I want to talk about when I have a podcast. Sometimes I don't. And this is one of those times when I don't. I just kind of wing it. So I don't always know exactly what direction I'm going to go. But I think the thing is, you know, the other day I said, you know, you need to know why you're living in a place. What is it you're going to do? And now the thing is that I guess what I'm getting at in this conversation, this podcast, is that if you do move here, you need to understand that if you decide to live here, your life is going to change quite a bit in the next decade or two decades. And people don't think about that. I never thought about it. I never looked ahead and said, well, in 25 years, where do I want to be? You know, I mean, listen, I was 30, 32, 33. And I just thought to myself, hey, I'm going to go, you know, take it one day at a time. I'll see what happens. But I wasn't saying to myself, oh, you know, what's going to happen in the next 30 years? It's very difficult to have that kind of foresight and be committed to it. It's a different story about saving money, you know, because you know you're gonna reap the benefits of that at the end of the time, the period of time, in most cases. But yeah, I mean that's a huge thing. And now that I think about it, it's huge. You really need to think, hey, if I'm moving over here, I get these guys writing all the time, hey, can I work over there, man? Can I be a plumber? Can I be an air conditioner repairman? Can I teach English? I had a guy the other day say to me, you know, hey, man, I'm going to come over on a retirement visa. You know, can I work as a teacher there? I said, you know, no, if you're retired, you're retired. So you're not going to be able to get a work permit. Oh, yeah, okay, well, so then, you know, can I work there? Yeah, it doesn't matter. You can work here, of course. You can work here. It's, you know, you're not 60, 65, you can work here. But you got to find a job. Good luck. You know, I mean, I'm extremely fortunate in that sense. Okay, and I'm very fortunate that, you know, I have my wife, and my wife is, you know, she earns a good living, and she helps us, you know, her income helps. I mean, you know, listen, two incomes is better than one. And, you know, fortunately, she's not, you know, earning 6,000 baht a month. I mean, because, you know, a lot of times what I used to think is, gosh, you know, I understand why some of these girls don't want to work. It's like, you know, listen, they got some boyfriend who says, listen, I'll give you 10 or 15,000 baht a month. And the girl works and, she's working, she makes 8,000 baht a month. And you got some guy going, I'll give you 15, it's no big deal. And the girl's like, okay. And then guess what she does? She sits at home and she thinks, what am I going to do? And she doesn't have enough money to, like, you know, go running around, go, hey, I'm going to go take a trip to Cambodia. She doesn't have the money to do that, you know. So, anyway, I think that's about it. But listen, you know, like I said, I'm sorry I haven't done any podcasts. I'll try to get some a little more formulated podcasts in the next few weeks. And I'll try to do at least one when I'm in Bali. Preferably two or three, but I'd say two is probably the best number. I'll try to do at least one or two when I'm in Bali, and I'll be bringing video and photos and podcasts and, you know, yada, yada, yada from Bali. So, you know, I'm interested to see what I think about it and interested to just go do something different, you know, get at it, get out from behind my desk. And be somewhere other than Thailand, you know, which is the other thing that sometimes, you know, just being in Thailand, if you've been in Thailand for 5-10 years, you know, your attitude towards the country and your attitude towards doing certain things is going to change. So, you know, you may not want to. How many times can you go to the zoo here? How many times can you go to Koh Samet? I mean, before you get bored. I mean, you know, I've been there 3 times and I don't want to go back, you know. So, anyway, that's all I got. I'm Scott. I'm an American in Bangkok. Until next time, Chok D, Lat Jerkin Mai.